coloring sheet and some pencils from Deb. Friends in Christ, I'm continuing our sermon series on the book of Acts. Now, my dad said when I told him how long I was going to preach, he said, "Nathan, how long do you preach for?" I said, 20 to 25 minutes. He said, "It better be good, because otherwise you're not going to keep my attention." Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Father, please open my lips to speak your words and open our hearts as your people to receive your good news and your promises for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today in our continuing series on the book of Acts, we reach Acts chapter 16, and we really are beginning to see the gospel going to the ends of the earth here. Today, the gospel goes into Macedonia, which is northern Greece, and I'm going to put a map up soon so you'll be able to kind of visualize where that is. The good news of Jesus here in Acts chapter 16 is beginning to spread across the known world, the world of the Mediterranean, the world of the Roman Empire and Greek culture. So I invite you to turn in your Bible or on your phone to Acts chapter 16. And this is, we're going to read some parts of that. 3 points today that I'm going to cover. First one is, what happens when God closes a door? What happens when God closes a door? Secondly, we're better together. And third, the Lord opens the heart. And we'll get to each one of those. First of all, let's think about the question that I asked the children. Have you ever been disappointed with God? Have you ever been disappointed with God? I can see Harry is nodding his head. Put up your hand if you've ever earnestly prayed for something that you thought was actually really good and that you were doing it with the best of motives and God said no. Okay, a few of us have experienced that. What is God doing when he does not answer our prayers or when he says no, even to the very noblest of causes and the best of intentions? Let's read Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. These are very surprising verses. And just to help keep him on his toes, I'm going to get my dad to read those two verses, if 6 to 7. Is that not surprising? They had been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, Paul had been called by Jesus on the Damascus Road, and he had been commissioned as the person who would take the good news to the nations. And here it says that the Holy Spirit is keeping him from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That must have been incredibly frustrating for Paul. All he wanted to do was to share the good news of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was stopping him from doing that? What is going on here? Well, to understand this, it might help to have a map of Paul's missionary journey. And I'd love to have a laser pointer, but I don't. Up here on the right-hand side, we have Antioch, and Paul is trying to go into Asia here, this province of Greece, but the Holy Spirit won't let him. So he gets up to Mysia and he tries to turn right and go into Bithynia up that way. And once again, what does it say? It says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. What is God doing here? Why would the Holy Spirit keep his apostle from preaching in these places? Well, it can only make sense with a little bit of Bible history and a little bit of geography. Because what happens next is that Paul and his companions go on a ministry journey in the other direction. Now, we've got four quick fire verses here. Acts chapter 16, verse 12, Edward. Acts chapter 17, verse 1, Leonor. Acts chapter 17, verse 5, Carolyn. And Acts chapter 18, verse 1, where am I at? Acts 18, verse 1, someone else? Yvette. And Acts 19, verse 1, Nick. All right, we're going to read those out in order. Thanks, Edward. Okay, so Paul and his companions go to Philippi. Yep, next. 17:1. Okay, so they go to Thessalonica. Yep, what's next? Acts 17:15. 15. Carolyn, if you can find that quickly. Okay, so he goes to Athens. Yep, and the next one, 18 verse 1. Yep, Corinth. Okay, if you've got good vision, you can probably see some of these cities here. Athens is down here. Corinth is here. Thessalonica is up there. Philippi is there. And Acts 19:1. Who's got that one? Okay, and then Paul went to Ephesus. Now, Bible quiz. There are a number of cities here that Paul visited that he wrote letters to that are now letters, books in our New Testament. Let's have a guess. What do you think the book that was written to the city of Philippi might be? Philippians. The book that was written to the city of Thessalonica. There's actually two of them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. The book that was written, he didn't write one to the people in Athens. The book that was written to the people of Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The book that was written to the people of Ephesus. By closing one door and not allowing Paul to go into Asia and Mysia, God opens the door for fruitful ministry around the Mediterranean and actually leads to us, God's people, 2,000 years later, having about 7 books of the New Testament, which we would not otherwise have. So when God closes a door, you can be sure that he is being strategic. He's not random. There are no accidents. God's plan is bigger and better than what you think he might be able to do. We can understand this from the perspective of 2,000 years later as we look back at church history and as we read our Bible. God's plan is bigger than my own. Those surprising verses, the Holy Spirit would not let us preach here, meant that Paul went and preached over there. God's plan was bigger and better. And God's plan, even when he says no to your apparently best prayers, will always be for blessing. His plan will be for blessing for you and for others. And I'm actually really joyful today because I've come to a point of realizing that some of the really tough stuff that God has taken me and my family and our church through in the last few years has been in order to prepare us for what God is doing next. These things couldn't happen without those things having happened. Now, I haven't got this one down on your sermon sheet. Someone once said, "All that I know of God helps me to trust him for all that I don't know." I've got that one written down, and I think that's a really important quote. All that I know of God helps me to trust him for all that I don't know. God is trustworthy. Later, St. Paul would write in his letter to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, and I'm going to read that one out to you. He writes this. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I wonder if Paul was reflecting on how the Holy Spirit stopped him from preaching the word in the province of Asia as he wrote these words. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Okay, so when God closes a door, you can be sure that he has plans that are good for you and for your blessing. God's intentions are better than ours. There are no accidents. And God's plans are strategic, not random. Next, we're better together. So, could someone go to Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 11? Acts 16, we're back there. Verse 9 to 11. And listen carefully to what is written here. Who's going to do that one? Thank you, honey. Thank you for that emphasis. What's important there? What sticks out? We. Okay, so in Troas is where Luke, who writes the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, he joins Paul in his mission and in his ministry. God has put it together so that Paul's not going alone. Luke has joined him. And we, indeed, are also better together. In both Christian life and Christian ministry, we can't go alone. God has organized things so that Christian life and ministry works best in community. Now, there are a number of these we passages in Acts where Luke is traveling with Paul, and I wonder how much Luke was able to learn from Paul in terms of the writing of his gospel and of the book of Acts. There's an I believe this is an African proverb. Sarah, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's what God is teaching us through, partly, one of the things that God is teaching us through the we passages in Acts. We can't do it alone. We're not designed to be solo Christians. Ministry and Christian life is a team sport. Now, I've said this before, but I think that that's really important. It's not an individual pursuit. It's not like a game of tennis where you're out there on the court by yourself, not being allowed to be coached or anything. It's a team sport. The gospel comes to us in community and it's lived out and brought to others in community. And Paul talks about this in his letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6. And I'm going to flip over to that one, so you don't need to leave Acts 16. Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6. Paul writes to these people that we are about to meet. This is later on. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul talks about a partnership in the gospel. We're not in this alone. God has put other people here together with us. And however much sometimes our fellow Christians may irritate or annoy us or even disagree with us, God has put us together for a good purpose. We share a partnership in the gospel. We're better together. And I thank God for the way that he is building Christian community among our church. Now, of course, the most important partner in the gospel is actually the Holy Spirit. And that's where we get to the next section, which is about the Lord opens the heart. Acts chapter 16, verse 13 to 15. Who would? Thanks, Tim. You're going to get that one? Bit of a race between the physical Bible and the... Yep. Keep going. Excellent. So the Lord opened the heart of Lydia. Lydia was a gentle and rich businesswoman. She was involved in the dyeing of purple cloth, which was a very expensive commodity. It was used by royalty back in this time. She hears the good news, and God opens her heart to believe the good news. And for us, that means that our partnership is with the Holy Spirit. We are involved in what God is doing in the lives of people around us, bringing the good news of Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, his new life, his resurrection, his restoration into the lives of other people. And if you look over the page, there's a number of things that God calls us to do together. We pray for those that we love or know who don't know Jesus yet. We pray for them. We expect that God will do something in their lives. We practice our faith. We proclaim the good news. So when the opportunity arises, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we share the fact that Jesus is alive and that through him comes forgiveness of sins. But in all of this, we partner with the Holy Spirit, who was there before we were. He was working in people's lives before we even got there. And this was all prepared in advance by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit prepares the ground, and the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of faith. It is the Lord who opens the heart. I think that we as Christians sometimes feel a bit of a sense of pressure or guilt that we should be witnessing to people, that we should be sharing our faith. And you know what? That's actually brings up significant anxiety for some people. It's like, I don't know what to say, don't know how to do it, don't know how I'll share it with them or how they will respond. But it's not your role to bring people to faith. It's not your call to open people's hearts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps people to recognize the presence of Jesus, his love, and his forgiveness in their life. For me, that takes a whole lot of the pressure off. I'm free to see the opportunities, to speak into those things with gentleness and respect, and to know that it's actually the Holy Spirit that will bring faith to those that God is calling to himself. And Lydia says, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." So in winding up, I'd just like to think briefly about what kind of community we would be in living the great adventure if we let this passage of Acts shape our lives together. I think that we would be a community of hospitality and generosity. We would be people like Lydia, who invites Paul and his companions to her house. And in fact, that is what I see that is emerging in our church. I believe that God is forming us as a people of hospitality and generosity. And I love to see people chatting with each other before and after the service and welcoming those who are newcomers amongst us and saying, you know, it's good that you're here. Welcome. We love you because God loves you. I don't think you'd actually use those words, but that's okay. I think we could be a community that knows we can't do it alone. A community that knows that we are better together and that the Christian life is actually lived best life on life with one another. I think that we could be a community of trust in God. If we keep in mind what happened to Paul when he prayed and tried to go and preach the gospel in Asia and God wouldn't let him, we can trust that whatever may be happening, God is good and his purposes for us are good. And I think that we could be a community that is in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We can be excited to see what God is already doing in the lives of people that we love who don't yet know that Jesus is with them, that he is risen, and that he gives his forgiveness. Wouldn't that be great if these things characterized our community under the power of the Holy Spirit and by the inspiration of our Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you that your Holy Spirit has been at work both in us and in others well before we were aware of it. Thank you that you are trustworthy and that your purposes for us are good. Please help us to trust in you and to believe your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.